Good morning. Today's daf from Baba Kama Nun test. We're going to be starting Nun Ches Amud Beis HaGavra, about a little bit more than halfway down from the top of the Amud, or a little bit less from the bottom. Either way, we're going to be talking about appraisal and assessment of damage that's done, specifically damage that's done to property. So the animal goes in. This is a Mishnah that we did already a couple of days ago. The animal goes into your property and eats from your property, classic case of Shane. And so, but what he's doing is that he's eating vegetation, not that was detached from the property, but rather was still attached to the property. And so damage is done. That part's clear. He's got to pay for it. That part's clear. And how do you assess and how do you appraise the damage? Okay, that's where it gets hazy. So in yesterday's daf, so what we learned, first of all, there's a basic machlokas in terms of if the fruit or vegetation is still attached to the ground, but it's totally ripened. So do we get to appraise it independent of the ground, or do we appraise it relative to the ground? That's a machlokas tanaim. Okay, we're going to come back to that point a little bit later on. Okay, but even if we're going to appraise it as part and parcel of the ground, so what formula are we going to use? So in yesterday's daf, what we learned is that there is a formula. Okay, the formula is called shishim. Okay, I'm going to be a little bit pressed in terms of explaining how the formula works, right? I've read the Rashi. I get the basic idea. The basic idea is that you don't appraise it as it is, meaning in of itself, but relative to a larger parcel of land. Okay, let's leave it at that. Let's just, for our purposes, from this point going forward, there is a formula to assess the damage that's done. The formula is called shishim, and what we need to do, we're not going to sit in a court case, and we're not going to have to assess and appraise. But as far as just the basic deher, just a basic idea of what's happening over here, and that is that it favors the mazik. Okay. In other words, it minimizes the assessment so that the mazik is not going to be paying as much damage. Now, all this is great in theory. What does that mean practically? So we're going to learn a story right now, and the story is going to give us a sense of practically what would that look like. Even as we go through the story, we're not going to, in other words, it'll help us understand. All this would be much easier if we just, you know, if we saw all this in practice. But okay, to the
shishim
means 60th? No. Shishim is what I just explained, even though I didn't do a great job explaining it. And that is that shishim is a formula used to appraise damage that's done to fruits and vegetables that are still connected to the ground. And what you're doing is now you're assessing it relative to the ground. But even as you do that, you're using this formula. Okay.
Now, here's why it's called shishim.
Huh? Yeah, so the Gemara yesterday said that what we're going to do is that we're going to not factor based on the amount of land that was actually damaged, but we're going to take a much larger parcel of land. Okay.
You look at the bundle.
Yep. How gavra de So the story goes off like, the story starts like this. And that is a person, what he did is he chopped somebody else's tree down. Okay. Like Washington. So the also lekame the Reish Galusa. So now they go to the Reish Galusa because they want a judgment. In other words, it's a simple case of nezek. He chopped my tree down. They went to court. Had the court they happened to go to was Reish Galusa's court. So Amar Leili Didi Chazili Utlasa Talsa Bikina Havakaime. So Reish Galusa says, okay, I'm going to assess. In other words, damage was done. I'm going to assess. And my appraisal is as follows. There were three trees that were next to one another. And Havishava Meazuz, the three trees in total were 100 zuz. So here's what I'm going to do. Very simple. And that is you chop one tree down. All three trees together were 100. So in other words, I'm going to assess a third of that, otherwise known as 33 and a third. So Zil Havle Tilsin Tasa Vatilsa. Okay, that's how much you're going to pay. So Amar Gabi Resh Galusa, the Dain Dina Parsi Lamali. So the Mazik said, this is ridiculous. I cannot believe it. I went to the Reish Galusa for a judgment. What was I thinking? Right? Literally, the words are, Gabi Reish Galusa, Dedain Dina Taparsai Lamali. I'm going to the Reish Galusa. He's going to judge like a Persian. No disrespect.
But isn't Adina Medina?
Huh?
Isn't Adina the Medina Dina?
Well, in other words, he's saying it's not the correct halacha, meaning correct. In other words,
But Reish Galusa was applying the Persian rule.
Right, and okay. He was expecting a halachic decision.
Right, but the thing is that, but isn't the Dina Medina enforceable? He should abide by that?
But I think the miscommunication over here, it's not clear it's clear what he was expecting, but like what the Reish Galusa was doing, in other words, he was expecting the Reish Galusa to pass in like halacha, like the Torah.
Jewish
Right. So, also lekamed to Rav Nachman, Amar lei b'shishim. So now they go to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says, yeah, you're going to apply the formula of shishim. Now, again, how do you apply the formula of shishim? Okay, so I don't know. In other words, but what I do know is the following, and that is that clearly it would favor the mazik. Meaning, in the context of the story, it couldn't be clearer. In other words, using the formula of shishim, in other words, not judging the trees in of themselves. In other words, what the Reish Galusa did, which quite frankly is what I would have done. And that is, I know how much those trees are worth. 100 in total. You knock down one, you pay a third. That's easy. In other words, and so easy, I would have done it. But the expectation over here is that you use this formula of shishim. In other words, you don't base it on three trees. You base it on 60 times that amount. And again, that's just a formula. In other words, obviously, the mazik is not going to be paying 60 times the amount. In other words, it's just a way of assessing, not these three singular trees, but rather, in other words, basically 60 of those trees. Obviously, then what you do, then you're going to prorate the actual damage that's done. But in other words, the formula is going to get you to something significantly less than 33 and a third. That's the point. That's the takeaway of the Gemara. So Amalei Rava Imam Rabbeniske Mamono Yom Rabbeniske Gufo. So Rava now thinks to himself and he says, you know, maybe it's a suggestion. The Gemara is going to reject it, but maybe this idea of using the formula of shishim, maybe that's true when your property does damage, i.e., your animal does damage, your fire does damage. Well, I'm assuming isha mishum mamono. But in other words, that's if your property does damage. But if you do damage, now you're going to be paying, not using the formula of shishim, but using what Reish Galusa did. So what Rav is thinking right now is that maybe Reish Galusa was right. Because remember, who chopped the tree down? He chopped it down himself. This is nezek biyadayim. This is nizke gufo, not nizke mamono. Maybe it's different. That's what Rav is thinking. And the Gemara is basically going to say, yeah, that's a nice thought, but it's wrong. So Amalei Abai LeRav, b'nizke gufo, my daitach. So Abai turns to Rav and he says, what are you thinking? Meaning, you're not right. And he says, look, for a moment, I'll defend you, but you're wrong. Ditan, you will learn to Abaisa, ha-mafkir, kamashu chaveros, madar. So let's say you go into somebody else's field, and what do? You hit the smadar. Smadar is grapes, but underdeveloped. So Rowan also kama isa yafa kodem lachen v'kama yafa lachemikan v'il b'shishim lo ketani. Now, what's the formula in terms of how do you figure for the damage? And again, you don't assess the grapes independently because the grapes are not yet detached from the ground. The grapes are still connected to the vine, and so therefore you assess it relative to the ground. In other words, it's damage to the property. And so therefore, what you're going to do is that you're going to do two assessments. How much the property was worth with the underdeveloped grapes, and how much the property is now worth without it. That difference, that's the nezek. That's what you pay. Now, you'll notice it doesn't mention anything over there about shishim, right? In other words, using the formula doesn't say anything over there. So, now, I'm going to give you now a second brice. This second brice is talking about where your animal did damage. And over there, same thing. The Braisa didn't mention shishim. And Abaye's point, in other words, I'll finish the point now, and then we'll go back. Obviously, we're going to go over the Braisa in detail. And Abaye's point is very simple. You know, not every Braisa is going to tell you, you know, how do you assess the damage using the formula of shishim? It's not the job of the Braisa to do that every single time. In fact, the Braisas don't do that. Meaning, we have a Kabbalah that the way we're going to factor, the way we're going to appraise is using the formula of shishim. And because the Braisa didn't say it, Don't get caught up on that. That's the point Abai is going to make. Good. We're going to see him finish up that point in just a couple minutes from now. But for now, let's go through the Braisa, set Braisa number two together. Ditanya will enter the Braisa. Kitma Nitiya Rabbi Yossi Omer. So this Braisa is talking about animals. Rashi points it out. It's clear in the context of the Gemara. Meaning what your animals did is your animals went into somebody else's property and damage their tree, their vegetation. So Nitiya. Nitiya over here means young sapling. So Rabbi Yossi, Amar goes, Rikazer, Shibir Yushalayim, reference to Admon, Hanan, Ben Avshalom. Anyway, these are Dayanim in Yerushalayim. So Omrim Nitiya Bashna Sashtei Kesef, Bashtei Shanim Arba Kesef. So they give a schedule. They give an amount that you have to owe for the damage that's done. Achla Chaziz. Now, let's say your animal eats chaziz. Now, chaziz is grain, but it's really underdeveloped. It's still in its It's still in its formation stage. Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer Nidon B'Meshur Shabbos. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili has a tremendous chumrah. Chumrah meaning it's going to be difficult for the mazik, right? And more money for the mazik, and that is that we're going to project. In other words, the chaziz is right now in its growing stages. Now what happened was is that somebody's animal came onto my property, ate my chaziz. So according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, in other words, we're not going to assess it for what its current value is, but in other words, it's going to grow. And what we're going to do is that we're going to project how much its value is at full growth. That's what the mazik is going to have to pay. Okay, do we pass like Rav Yosef Aglili? Please wait. And the Chachamim say, no, you don't do projections. Yes, you use the formula of Shishim in order to assess its current value, but that's it. In other words, you don't project. Achlas madar. Now, what if the animal goes into somebody else's field and eats madar? And again, smadar is underdeveloped grapes. So, Reb Yoshua Omer, Rono Sokila Hinanavim, Omdos Li Batzer. So, Reb Yoshua says, what we're going to do is we're going to see them as fully developed grapes that are right on the border of being harvested. In other words, we assess them as grapes. And not just grapes, by the way, but fully developed grapes. And according to the Chachamim, no. In other words, you assess them relative to the ground, meaning it's karka damage. And how do you assess? Again, using the standard formula of how much was the value of the land with it versus without it. Rabbi Shimon, wait, just wait one second. Let me just finish. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Mehmet V'Mamorim Bizman Shachla Luve Gafanim V'Chure Te'enim. So, this is true that we view it as karka damage if what the animal ate was the actual vines. However, Ava Achla Pagim O Boser, but if what the animal ate was the actual fruit, so Rono Sakilo Anavim Omdos Libatzer. So what you're going to do is that you're going to assess how much the fruit is in of itself. Now, if you're listening carefully to the Brisa, it sounds like this position of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda sounds awfully similar to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. We're going to come back to that point altogether. Again, that was we're going to tackle a number of points that were made in the Brisa. But meanwhile, right now, all we're going to do is one singular point of the Brisa, which is. Meaning the Chachamim say that if an animal goes into somebody's property and damages any of the vegetation, fruits, vegetables, whatever's growing, but in other words, it was currently attached to the ground. So how is that viewed? That's viewed as damage to karka, not damage to produce, because it was still connected to the ground. How is it assessed? The difference between how much it was worth, connected versus disconnected. How much was the property worth? Right. Had there been fruit versus not had there been fruit. Okay, and what formula do you use? Now, the formula we're going to use is Shishim. Did it say so in the Braisa? No, but it doesn't matter. In other words, that's the formula we use. And that's exactly the point of the Gemara. Velo Kitani B'Shishim. So, Elam Aisach Lamehme B'Shishim. So, Achinami B'Shishim.
Why is Lamehme B'Shishim?
And Nachinami doesn't say. Abaye says to. I hear you. Abaye says to Rava. In the case of Niske Mammon, when the animals did damage, you and I both know it's going to be Beshishim. How do we know that? Excellent question. We know it. Meaning you're going to concede we know it. I in the Brisa didn't mention it. No, it doesn't need to mention it. So by Niske Haguf, when you do the damage, same thing. That's his argument. Okay. What comes out over here is the following, and that is that when you or your animal does damage to somebody's property, i.e. eats their vegetation connected to the ground, so the Mishnah and in the Brisa, the Chachamim, are all of the position that what do? We look at it as karka damage, and therefore, in terms of assessing it, how much was the value of the karka with the growing fruit versus without the growing fruit? That difference you're going to pay. And then what formula are you going to use? So now... Again, I don't fully understand how the formula works. Doesn't matter. Of course it matters. But in other words, but just so that you and I can have basic understanding of the Gemara, there's a formula called Shishim. And Shishim, it gives relief to the mazik. It reduces the assessed amount for the mazik. Good. So far, so good. Now, in the Brisa that we just learned together, what else do we see? a couple of other shitas, including the interesting shita of Rav Yosef Aglili, and that is that what we're going to do in terms of assessment, project what it's going to grow into. That's a shita of Rav Yosef Aglili. Amar Abaye, Rav Yosef Aglili, Rav Yishmael, Amar Davar Echad. So first, Abaye. Abaye does this throughout Shas. Okay, right? It's now, at this point in my learning, I'll say it very clearly, very confidently, dozens upon dozens of times. I don't have a number. But Abaye does as part of his Derech HaLimud is that he takes Shitas Tanaim and he strings them together, meaning he understands what's the underlying Svara of each of the Tanaim, and he puts Tanaim together. So he does that with Rav Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Shmuel. Rav Yosef Aglili Hadam Maran, good. So Rav Yosef Aglili, we just saw together in a Braisa, in the case where your animal ate Chaziz, right, the growing sprouts, where there you project how much it's going to be in terms of its full growth. And that's how much you assess towards the mazik. Now, Rabbi Yishmael, the Tanya. So over here, a Braisa. In this Braisa, we saw a long time ago here in Baba Kama. And we get to review it. Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Karmo, Yishalei, Meitav Sadeo, Shal Nizak. O Meitav Karmo, Shal Nizak. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael says that when you're paying for damages, what are you going to be paying for? The Meitav Sadeo, the best of his Sadeo. According to Rabbi Yishmael, the focus of the Torah is on Shal Nizak. In other words, the victim, the one who was damaged. Rabbi Kiva Amar Lo Ba Kasev Ela La Gavos Nizikin Minaid Is VeKavachomer LaHekdesh. And Rabbi Kiva says, no. The Torah is telling you that when you, the Mazik, are paying for damages and you're paying with property, which property do you pay with? You pay with your A property. A discussion that we had at length in the beginning of the Masechta. But now, again, our focus right now is not on Rabbi Kiva, but rather on Rabbi Shmuel. Now, Velo Tema Kerev Idi Bar Avin. Now, what is Pshat Rabbi Shmuel? When you damage, you pay the best of his property, meaning the Nizak. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, first of all, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. Right? A proposal by Rav Idi Bar Avin, Dam Rav Idi Bar Avin, Gagon Shach Laruga, Ben Arugos, Velo Yadina, Khush Avai, Shmen Avai, Dam Rakum Shlim, Shmena Be Meitav Deika Hashta. So the Hachilo Aminin. So first of all, I'll tell you something that Rav Idi Bar Avin says. Let's reject it. And that is that, let's say, my animal went into my friend's property, ate a row of his produce. We don't know if it was the good or it was the bad. He was growing different quality rows. And for whatever reason, we don't know which one my animal ate. I don't know, whatever. We only saw the animals go in. We just don't know. Let's leave it like that. We don't know which one he ate. So now, maybe the pshat of Rabbi Shmuel is, you're going to pay the best, not the worst. Now the Gemara says, now that of course is not correct. Why? Hachi lo amrinan. Because my time, I want to mechaver alav araya. Because one of the most basic rules of Mamonos, and that is that if I don't know what the damage is, and you don't know what the damage is, and there's a range of what the damage could be, and we don't know, so now you're taking money away from me? No. If you're taking money away from me, hamotzi mechaver alav araya, you need proof positive. You need to know that this is what I damaged. If you don't know it, so I'm not going to pay it. Okay, good. So Ella b'meitav d'lekamei, my nihu ki haide salik. So now I'm telling you what's pshat in Rabbi Shmuel. Here's pshat in Rabbi Shmuel, and that is meitav d'lekamei. When you do damage to somebody's property, we know you did damage, but right now it was growing. So now, how do we assess it? Not what its current value is, but what its future value is. In other words, what we're going to do is we're going to project how much it's going to become. That's the assessment that you make to the mazik, not its current value. So you see that according to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel learns like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef Aglili, when assessing damage, do not look at its current value. But in other words, if it's in the process of growing, we look at its full value, even though the damage was done somewhere in the middle of the process. Yeah.
The question is only how do you figure? You look at what happens to the next one.
So the Rav Yosef Aglili gave us a clue. Rav Yosef Aglili says meshuyah, meaning that the animal, we're assuming the animal didn't eat all of it, and so therefore what we get to do is we get to look at whatever's left over. Whatever left over is going to finish growing, and so good. So that's Rav Yosef Aglili. With Rabbi Shmuel in the Brice, I don't know. Maybe uses the same formula. All we know is Meitav.
Why does Abaye ignore Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua says the same thing.
As Rabbi Yeshua. Gemara's next question. Very good. Amar Mar, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Amar Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Medrar, Mamorim, Achu Lulei Gefan Vichuri Teinim. So House Madar. So now, in the Brisa that was quoted in the story, right? The story of the three trees. So they quoted a Brisa. They quoted two Brisas, but the first Brisa was Niske Haguf, and the second Brisa was Niske Mamon. In that Brisa, so it talked about where my animal goes into somebody else's property eating the vines and the actual fronds. But in other words, but not the fruit. Hasmadar rono sokiila navim omdam libatzer. Now, the implication would be is that only if my animal ate the vines, then and only then we're going to be viewing it as me damaging the karka. But if my animal ate fruit, even underdeveloped, it's viewed as a nezik on the fruit. So Ema Seifa, the Gemara says, okay, but keep reading in the Braisa. Achlu pagim oboser. So who do ronos okila navim amdin libatzer? Hasmada ronos okama hi yafe vechama haisa yafe. But then the Braisa goes on to describe pagim and boser. So basically that is edible grapes, still more to develop, but edible. In other words, but smadar, that is the first development of the fruit. So then that's viewed as just simply karka. That's not viewed as peros. So I'm a Ravina Kroch Vitini. So Ravina says, okay, I know the Brisa is a little bit difficult to navigate. So what we're going to have to do is that we're going to take the Brisa and we're going to basically fold it over. You'll see what I mean. He's going to explain. So the way to properly understand the Brisa is that this shita is that you're going to take, if the animal ate anything that is not fruit, i.e. the vines, karka damage. If it ate anything that was fruit, even in its initial developmental stage, it's viewed as peros. So yachi Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda hain Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, okay, now in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua now are saying the same thing, which Rav Chaim pointed out just moments earlier, and that we have now basically said that these two shitas, granted, by the way, they're das yachid, or in this case, they are two das yachidim. But in these cases, so basically what we're doing is that we're assessing all fruit to be independent of the ground, even though it's still connected to the ground, and even though it's still growing. We still, from an assessment standpoint, we view it as peros. But they're both saying it. Why don't we just simply have them both presenting the same opinion? It sounds like the same opinion. So the Gemara says there's going to be a nafkamina between them, and that's going to be deduction. I'll explain the deduction momentarily. However, admittedly, says the Gemara, I don't know which one holds which. Meaning, there is a nafkamina between these two, and that is going to be deductions, which I'm going to explain momentarily. I happen not to know which one holds that you do make the deduction, which one holds you don't. Abai says, I know which one makes the deduction. So, I'm telling you that the deduction approach is taken by Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. How do I know that? The time Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer. Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya. Okay, now before we get to this point over here, so let's for a moment, let me now explain what does that mean we're going to be doing deductions. Okay, so I do damage to somebody's, my animals do damage to somebody's property. Notably, they go into their field and they eat their fruit. Good. So now we're going to, I did damage, I have to pay. Good. Again, just to outline, like it's a complicated piece of Gemara that we did today. How are we assessing it? So are we assessing it relative to the ground? Is it basically karka damage or no? In other words, they're fruit and they're totally edible. Maybe we're going to be viewing the assessment will be on the fruit in of itself, independent of the ground. That's a machlokas. Good. Okay. Then on top of that, even as we assess, if we assess it relative to the ground, so then we have the formula that we discussed earlier today, using the formula of shishim, which again, I don't know how to use that formula, but doesn't matter. Okay, good. If we're assessing it as fruit in of itself, which is again, the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, it's the shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, do we forecast its future growth? Also open for a discussion. Oof. That's already a lot to process. Now I'm going to add one more variable to put into the discussion. The Gemara just mentioned it. and that is future deductions based on future. What deductions are we talking about? So let's say, for example, over here. So my animal goes in somebody's property and eats all the fruit. Obviously, the consumption of fruit is damaged. Obviously, you have to pay for it. At the same time, however, what happens now is that the vines are going to take a long time to recharge. In other words, the vines had, this is Rashi's explanation, the vines had moisture, and in other words, and while the grapes were connected to them, the vines were stronger. But now, once you harvest, so now the vines are going to dry up. So that is a future loss that is right now currently not yet realized, but we know, just as nature occurs, we know that is going to be a future loss that you have to take into account. And so there is a shita, notably Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. You take those future losses that are easy to project and you then roll them into the assessment. Ah, so the vines are going to stand to lose in the future. You take that loss and now you put that into the assessment. Obviously, that serves as a break to the mazik. Good. This position, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, how do I know? How do I know that it's position? Because I know that he subscribes to it in other areas of Nezik. For example, so, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Ha'onis, Ein Mishal, Matzatzar, Mim Neshet, Sofer, Litzar, Tachas Bala. We're going to give you a very, very graphic example of this idea that we take future assessments, future deductions, and we roll it into the assessment. Notably, a man's man is a woman. So a man's man is a woman, so that's assault. And that's chavallah. And so therefore, what do you pay? You pay for nezek, tsar, ripui, sheves, boshes, v'chule, v'chule. All the assessments we're going to learn together in the eighth parak. So Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi says, yes, but not tsar. Why? Because that tsar she's going to experience anyway. She's going to get married to a man in the future, and she's going to experience that tsar anyway. So in other words, that is a future, that's something that will happen in the future. You could take that. And you can basically deduct it from the current nezik that's done right now. Now, Amrulay, now you're probably thinking this, and the Gemara is going to push back on the Shita. Amrulay, Enu Dome, Nivels Baratzon, Ele Nivels Baones. Well, in other words, yeah, I know. It's such an obvious point, like it's hard to imagine that you would argue. Meanwhile, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda argues. Okay, but you're right. In other words, this position is so much easier to say over, so much easier to understand. And that is, you can't compare a woman having intimacy via ones versus having it beratzon. Okay. But regardless, however, the point is that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, even though that's something that will happen in the future, but in other words, we could forecast it, it's going to happen anyway, deduct it off the current nezek ticket price. Good. Amar Abaye, Hanitanai, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Hanitanai, V'Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Amar Davar Echad. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Hadamaran. Okay. This idea that we're going to be taking future deductions and knocking it off the current nezek. So hani tanai mahi. The time will enter the following brisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer nachi chaya. Benaze Omer nachi mizonos. Okay. Demei vlados. Okay. We're going to go back for just a moment to demei vlados. Damage is done to a woman. Remember the pasuk in the Torah. She walks into the middle of a fight, a very, very serious fight between two men. She gets knocked in the stomach, and she miscarries as a result of that. What happens now is that there you're going to have to pay for all the damages, and you're going to have to also pay a new line item of the Torah, which is called Demei Vlados. Fine. Assessment of Demei Vlados, we already discussed this earlier in the Masechta. That in of itself already is tricky. But now, here's a new variable that we didn't discuss earlier, that here on Nun Tes, we're throwing in. Now, when I say we're throwing in, we're not doing anything. Rabbi Yossi is throwing in the following. Nichi chaya, meaning, on the Demei Vlados payment that you have to pay, but you know, had she not miscarried, what would have happened? She would have delivered, but she would have had to hire a midwife. So that would have been a cost to her. So in other words, yes, you owe her Demei Vlados, but deduct the future cost of the midwife. That's Nichi chaya. And then Benazeh takes another shita, which is Nechi Mizonos. You know, pregnancy, so she's feeding now herself and her developing fetus. So that's more food. So that also would have been a future cost that you deduct as well from the current Nezek. Now, here in the notes, he points out, like, how much food are we talking about? right? In other words, are we talking about feeding during pregnancy? There are some shitas. He quotes over here in the notes in the Masifta. There are some shitas that say you're going to be not only the cost of the duration of the pregnancy, but also the nursing as well, right? Hard to imagine. He points that over here in the notes. Point is that there are others who agree with this line of thinking. That in other words, if they're not, had there not been Nezek, and yes, it's true, you create a loss, but at the same time, if there are future costs that you can anticipate, they're going to get deducted from the Nezek. So that in other words, so what you're paying for is Nezek and only Nezek. And you have to assess what is the actual damage that's done. Okay. And finally, as we get to the end of this discussion, sorry, I skipped just a little bit. Now, if you're deducting the cost of a midwife, you're for sure going to be deducting the cost of food. In other words, those are both anticipated costs, and the food is even more obvious than that of midwife. However, now, if you're deducting the cost of the food that she would have used, in other words, that's obvious. Midwife, not so obvious. Why? The Amarle, because the husband could say to the Mazik, you know, I wouldn't have hired a midwife. What? No, I'm telling you, I wouldn't have hired a midwife. You know, my wife is very smart. And she could do the whole delivery without a midwife. She doesn't need a midwife. It happens to be, by the way, it's fantastic. This week's Parsha, right? That's what the Mielados say to Paro. You know, these Jewish women, they're pikachos. They're really smart. They don't need midwives. Okay. Worked out unbelievable.
How do you judge when she's going to give birth? How much you charge?
Again, these are all variables. I don't know. The point is that there's is that going to be in a future expense that we can deduct now from the Nezek? That's the question. Good. And that's the discussion. How do you figure it out? I'm here just to present the information. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua, Rav Dukavasid, Rav Nachman, B'Shishim. Okay, now finally. So some Piskei Halacha over here at the end of this sugya. Long sugya, yesterday, today. So Rav Papa's position Rav Papa and Rav Huna's position is that they hold like Rav Nachman, i.e. Shishim. In other words, again, when doing damage to property, even fruit connected to the property, so how is it going to be assessed? As property damage, as karka damage. And you use the formula of Shishim. Again, what does the formula of Shishim do? Eases up the actual dollar amount on the mazik. Lishna achrina, the Gemara says, okay, version number two. And that is Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered, Yeshua, Shamudikla, Agav, Kitina, Da'ara. That as far as Rav Papa and Rav Huna were concerned, so what they did is they assessed the karka damage, and again, as karka, but even though it was a small parcel of land, i.e., they didn't use the formula of Shishim. The formula of Shishim expects you to basically look at it as if it's part of a large mass of land. And over here in the second version, they didn't do that. In other words, probably more money for the mazik. Hilchus HaKavaseh de Rav Papa Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua B'dikla Dharma V'Hilchus HaKavaseh de Reish Galusa B'dikla Persa. And then the Gemara basically has some sort of pshara over here at the end of this long discussion. And the pshara is, depends if we're talking about a tree that is Arma'ah, Armenian tree, versus Parsa'ah, Persian tree. So when it comes to Armenian tree, so then we're going to be using this Shishim formula, and it's going to be easier on the mazik. But if it's a Persian tree, so then what we're going to be using is basically no formula, assess the damage as what is done to this particular tree, and that's it. And don't make any calculation and don't use the Shishi method. It only begs the question, what is an Armenian tree and what is a Persian tree? The Gemara, that's where the Gemara leaves off. So over here in the notes, numerous commentaries in terms of what that means. I'll just simply quote the Rambam. He quotes the Rambam over here. So as far as what the Kavanah of the Gemara is, if we're talking about Persian trees, so the Persian trees are chashuvim. So perim shel dekalim elu sheparsi perisav yafim umisharim hadekal b'fnei atzmo. However, when we say, I said, by the way, I said Armenian, the Rambam understands it as Roman. So eino yafos, in other words, inferior trees. So umisharin agav karka, and therefore they're only going to be assessed relative to the ground. Okay. Eliezer Ziri. We're almost done. We'll stop at the first mission today. Eliezer Ziri have esayim esani uchma. Okay, the Gemara tells a story. What is he doing? He's wearing black shoes. The kai b'shuket de Narda, and he was in the streets in the markets of Narda. Ashkechu de Reish Galusa. Members of the family Reish Galusa found him sporting his black shoes. Now, I don't know what's wrong with black shoes. I wear black shoes. Okay, so Amr Lei. But again, by the way, in other words, I'm wearing black shoes where everyone else is doing so as well. So in other words, it's obviously in today's day and age, it's normal. Obviously, back in the day, not normal. So Amar Lei Mishna Hani Misane. So no, they're telling him, so why are you wearing those shoes? They obviously stood out back then. Okay, that wasn't the minug. And they stood out. And Amar, Tosus writes over here, it just simply wasn't the minug. Right, mashma shelo hayu regil mamanam shchorim. Okay, and Tosos quotes a number of gemaras as well. The minhag was not to wear black shoes. Tosos has to juggle a couple of gemaras, which we're not going to do right now. But okay, that seems to be just simple pshat in our gemara. Ashkechu de beis sheish kalus amale mashna hani misane. I read that already. Amalehu dekam abilna ayushalayim. Ah, so what I'm doing is I'm mourning the loss of Yerushalayim. So Amar Lei at kashita lit bulu Yerushalayim. Oh, all of a sudden you think you're such a big shot. In other words, you more obviously we're all mourning Yerushalayim. But in other words, but somebody who's coming out looking like a real frummer, like in other words, I'm mourning. It bothers me more than everybody else, and therefore I'm going to do outward signs of mourning that are going to excel over other people's signs of mourning. So it's mechzei ki yura. It looks like arrogance, religious arrogance, right? The Gemara in numerous places cautions us not to come off looking religiously arrogant, right? If you're really sincere, okay, in other words, so you're a special person. But in other words, but you're still a person, so don't come off looking so from. So, Savra, you are Rahava. Asya v'chashvua, chavishuha. So what did they do? So they took him and they imprisoned him. Now, this in of itself is interesting. You've heard me talk about this before. How much incarceration are we reading about in the Gemara? Almost none. There is no incarceration in terms of punishment of the Torah, right? The only time people were incarcerated in the Torah is only because we weren't sure how to punish. So in other words, just to wait to see what the punishment is, so then you incarcerate. But like we don't have a prison system. Okay, so there must have been some form of prison system, as is clear in our Gemara over here. So his defense is, I'm really that special. In other words, yes, you're right. You're right. I'm doing outward signs of mourning for Yerushalayim, and I understand it's unusual, but I'm unusual. I'm right. I'm a really special person. Yeah, I'm sincere. Absolutely. Amar Lei Manaya Dinan. So in other words, you're an Adam Gadol. Like, how do we know you're an Adam Gadol? So Amar Lehu, okay, no, let's do a Feher. Test me. You ask me a question, I'll ask you a question, however you want to do it. In other words, I'll prove to you I'm an Adam Gadol. Amar Lehu Bayat. Okay, so they said to him, you ask the question. Amar Lehu, hi, Mandakat Kufra, my Mishalem. So now the question that he asks is, so you have somebody who cuts down Kufra. Kufra are unripened dates. And so now the damage was done. And how is it going to be assessed? Now, we just spent a second day in Daf Yomi going over this really complicated question. Is it considered karka damage? Is it considered a damage of peros? Even if it's damage of peros, do we forecast its future growth? Shishim. Goodness great. Do we use the formula of shishim? Goodness gracious, this is a complicated question. Okay, so Amar Lei Misham Demei Kufra. Okay, so no. So he gave a very simple answer, and that is, I don't know. He's like, in other words, the unripened dates were damaged. Pay for it. V'havu tamrei. So in other words, yeah, but they're going to grow into dates. What are you doing? You're ignoring the forecasted growth of it. Amar Lei Mishalem Demei Tamrei. So no. So he said, so pay for its forecasted growth. Amrlu, he says back to them, Mahalav Tami Shakal Minai. Yeah, but it's not, but they're not dates. In other words, right now, in the current state, they are unripened. Amrlay Emalan At. Okay, so in other words, so basically he's playing with them. You know what I mean. In other words, he's showing them that it's not that simple. And Amrluhu Bishishim. So he says, I'll tell you what we're gonna do, and that is we're gonna view it as karka damage. And the formula we're gonna use is the Shishim formula. Amrle man amar kavasech. Who says like you? Amrlu Ashmol Chayu Beitinu Kayem Sharju Kamidishmol Amrlu Shapik Amrlu Bishishim. Shmuel gave him an approbation. He gave him a haskama. This guy's right. Okay, so now Shafku. He in fact is an Adam Gadol. He said he was an Adam Gadol. He is an Adam Gadol. He took a complicated halachic question. He answered it correctly in terms of what the din should be. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Amar Achla, admittedly, by the way, a really strange story, but just to punctuate the whole discussion of the Gemara, it's complicated. Okay.
You could go to prison for being
Yeah, yeah. Rabbi Shimon Amar Achla Peres Gemur in my time. Okay, now, Shitas Rabbi Shimon, and that is that any fruit that is finished ripening on the tree and it was damaged, even though it was still connected to the tree, halacha views it as if it's detached. Kol ha-omed. The sheet of Rabbi Shimon threw out Chas, and we see one example right here in Baba Kama. So my time, ha-dama rachman ubiyar b'stei acher, malam ishe shaman al gav asada, hani mili midi desarach lesada, kevin dolo tzrich lesada be'einayhu ba'ishlomei. Rabbi Shimon will tell you that the only time I view it as karka is when it needs a karka. Even though physically it's attached to the karka, but it finished growing, it fully ripens. So then we view it independent of the karka. Am Rav Huna Barchi, Am Rabbi Yirmei Ba'arba. Dan Rav, Kerebi Meir. Upasa Kilchasa, Kerebi Shimon. Okay. In two areas, I'm going to tell you the Piske Rav. Number one, Dan Rav, Kerebi Meir. So Rav Ruh like Rabbi Meir, Detanya Kasav, Lerishon. Okay, now, a man selling off properties he happens also to be married. These properties are mortgaged against his ksuva. And so property number one, he sells, kasav l'rishon. So he's writing a contract now for this first property, and velo chas malo. Now she doesn't co-sign on the sale. In other words, remember, she has a lien on that property. So what she does not do is that she does not co-sign on that sale. She doesn't release her lien. Now, l'sheni v'chas malo. So now, he sells a second piece of property. She does co-sign on that second piece of property. So now that co-signing on the second piece of property, what does it say regarding her lien on the first property? Avda ksuvasa. So what she has now done, divrei b'meir, according to b'meir, she's lost her ksuva. Meaning her release of the lien on property number two is also a de facto release of lien on property number one. Rabbi Yehuda omer, yecholi shetam nachas ruach asisa labali, atem alachem alayim. Rabbi Yehuda will say no. So no, she didn't release her lien on number one. Meaning, yes, it's true, she co-signed on number two, but that doesn't speak to number one. Good. Machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, whether or not a release on number two is a de facto release on number one. Good. So on that regard, Rav Paskin like Rabbi Meir. Apostle Kilchasaka Rabbi Shimon Kiyad, not Rabbi Shimon, not Marachla Peres Gemurim, Mashalmas Peres Gemurim, Im Sasayim. And then Psak number two is that he passes like Rabbi Shimon, i.e., the fruit that's fully ripened. Fruit that's fully ripened, even though it's still connected to the tree, halacha views them as if they are detached. Ad kan. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the new Mishnah. Sure.